It's Friday, April 14th.
Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News. Here's Jay Moran.
Using unspent funding from the American Rescue Plan, Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz wants to set aside $20 million for affordable housing. During his State of the County address, Poloncarz said a new affordable housing fund would create working-class housing across the county. The speech also called for new snow removal equipment that could assist during major weather events and funding for site acquisition, engineering, and architectural work to plan for a new holding center. The 18-year-old female driver of a vehicle that crashed late in the evening on February 20th, taking three lives on the UB North campus, now faces criminal charges. Jayla Mueller of Colden was arraigned on several charges, including three felony counts of manslaughter. She's charged with driving at a high rate of speed along John James Audubon Parkway without headlights and taillights and losing control and overturning on a ramp to Millersport Highway. The three passengers who were killed after being ejected from the vehicle are 18-year-old Aziathiel Paban of Buffalo, 19-year-old Isabella French of Buffalo, and 20-year-old Dakota Eldridge of Cheektowaga. Mueller and another passenger were transported to ECMC with non-life-threatening injuries. And New Yorkers are getting back more for the tax dollars sent to the federal government. That's according to a state comptroller's study, which says for every New York dollar sent to Washington, the state receives $1.51 in federal spending. The national average is $1.70. The delayed state budget is expected to contain raises for direct support professionals, those who assist people with disabilities in tasks of daily living. The size of the raises remains in a question. According to Kevin Horrigan, People Inc.'s Associate Vice President for Public Affairs, Governor Hochul's executive proposal is calling for an insufficient hike of 2.5%.
She has spoken openly about her family being and her parents being social justice pioneers and taking in people with disabilities, and she created a chief disability officer. Our focus with her is continue your legacy. Agree with the state legislature on an 8.5% call in the final budget.
Emily Watkins goes in depth on this issue at WBFO.org. And 70 municipalities across New York will be sharing more than $8 million to install electric vehicle charging stations among the local municipalities, the city of Olean, the towns of Amherst, Grand Island, and West Seneca. A note from the local Office of the United States Air Force Reserve in Niagara Falls that the Peace Bridge will be lit up on Saturday to honor military children. As a matter of fact, the office asking with the Western New York community and Canadian neighbors as well to consider dressing in purple on any day during the month of April to show your support for military children. Erie County's annual State of the County address contains big announcements in funding, as well as changes that could be coming to local laws, internet access, and who shows up when you call an ambulance. WBFO's Emily Watkins has more.
On Thursday, Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz announced a new prosperity plan for 2023 that includes large investments to housing, snow removal, businesses, internet, and emergency services. Among the largest investments is a proposed $25 million to be invested into affordable housing, including $20 million towards new and rehabbed units, $5 million into the storefront revitalization program, $5 million to snowstorm emergency equipment, and $2.5 million to plan and build a new modern county holding center for the sheriff's office. Beyond investments, Poloncarz also shared that a local service-disabled veteran-owned business, or SDVOB law, will be considered by the county legislature. SDVOB law set a goal for a percentage of the entity's work to be completed by an SDVOB. Poloncarz says the new Bill Stadium also has a similar stipulation.
Currently, New York State has requirements with regards to service-disabled veterans. They have to be provided or attempted to provide a certain portion of the amount of the construction firms has to go to like a subcontractor that's a service-disabled vet. I believe it's 5-6% for the Bill Stadium. We're looking to do the same thing here for all future construction contracts.
The Prosperity Plan also includes expanded county services, like a new ambulance service that will start with 5 ambulances and has already been approved by New York State. and 253 new hotspots and 64 new Chromebook kits that could be checked out from county libraries and used anywhere. For more on this, visit WBFO.org. Emily Watkins, WBFO News.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And we're at one of those moments when, you know, after a bit of a lull, everything's opening up in two waves this weekend and next weekend. But still an opportunity to see Thurgood, about Thurgood Marshall at the Irish Classical Theatre Company this weekend. It's last weekend, but big news down at the Irish Classical Theatre Company.
There sure is. Their executive artistic director, Kate Locanti-Alcaser, who kind of took over right at the start of the pandemic, did a bang-up job keeping the ship afloat and on course, is going to be resigning to spend more time with her family. And having met her family, I totally applaud that decision.
The executive artistic director of the theater is perhaps not the occupation most compatible with parenthood. She took over from Vincent O'Neill, the founding artistic director, when he stepped down. But in the meantime, she and Anthony are first and foremost parents. And so that's what they will be doing.
And don't worry, folks, Kate will be back to direct and act.
Elsewhere around town.
There are four openings this week alone. Good Lord.
A disaster already opened at the Musical Fair Theater. That's the musical parody of those 1970s disaster pictures.
And it's a bit of a jukebox musical with great hits of the 70s. Hooked on a Feeling, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. Hot Stuff, just a few of the hits that they're going to be using to move the plot forward.
A very deep and philosophical piece.
Yes, yes.
So, and then down at the Smith Theater, Mary-Kate O'Connell taking on Romance, Romance, one of the great little musicals of the 1980s that brought Scott Bakula and Alison Fraser to our attention. It's two acts. Small cast, romance in Belle Epoque Vienna in part one and in a contemporary setting in part two.
With two leads that I just adore, Bobby Cook and Jen Stafford.
Lovable Bobby and Jen, yes. I think we can, from that casting, expect dancing and comedy. And then First Look Buffalo. Well, this will be my first look at this sort of thing. What's it called? It's called
Fursona Non Grata.
Fursona Non Grata. All right. This is a phenomenon I've only recently heard of. These people dress up in fuzzy animal costumes, right?
Right.
And they are called furries.
Furries. It's a lifestyle choice. And
I think of farming as a lifestyle choice. Do you know what I mean? I think of... All right.
Well, apparently a young man falls in love with a girl and she wants to bring him home to meet the rents, as so often happens. I guess she neglects to tell him about the fact they're all going to be dressed in animal costumes. It's directed by Drew Fornarola, who...
Right, Drew Fornarola, best known as the founder, the inspiration of Starring Buffalo. Now, this is not like a sequel to mediocre heterosexual sex, right? This is not like a sexual thing or, you know, what is...
I don't think so.
Then what is
There's no trigger warnings. It's just crazy, but that's nothing new for First Look Buffalo.
Okay.
Their job is to present stuff that is slightly off-kilter.
Wow.
It's got a great cast, so we're looking forward to it.
If it had been clowns instead of furry animals, they would have had to have a trigger warning, wouldn't they? A lot of people are very frightened of clowns. All right.
But for folks who don't know, it's at the Park School Theater.
Does that mean bring your own or drink it home?
It does definitely mean bring your own.
I don't think that's allowed on the campus, but all right.
Now, something happening on the Buff State campus, another new production company, Revelation Theater, formed by David Oliver. They're presenting The Stick Wife, again, an all-star cast. But I gather you've seen this play before.
Many years ago. He did it many years ago with Mary Loftus. It was the first time I ever saw the late, great Mary Loftus. A redneck southern town where the women realize that their men are involved in the Ku Klux Klan and deal with it. Very good play. Dara Cloud, wonderful playwright.
Wow, the way you said deal with it sounds like we should have a sound effect. Dum, dum, dum. Mm. Now, I know you're worried about the lack of libations at the Park School, but for those of like mind, certainly the Bittersweet Piano Lounge is known for their excellence in cocktails and yet another chance to see Anthony Chase, My Life in the Audience.
My Life in the Audience just keeps on rolling along. Yeah, so two more performances, the 16th and 17th. That's Sunday, Monday.
Have you added material?
You know, it's so funny you should say that. I was thinking, I had this great inspiration the other night that I was going to switch out one of the songs with an even better song. And then I woke up in the morning getting ready to, you know, get the sheet music, and I couldn't remember what it was. So, so no, if you're coming for a repeat performance, you won't be disappointed. It will be just what you've seen before. Anthony Chase, My Life in the Audience. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.